Kindergarten teacher gave her class show and tell assignments, asking each one of them to bring something that represented their religion. And the first boy got up in front of the class and said, "My name is Benjamin, and I'm Jewish, and this is the Star of David." The second boy got in front of the class and he said, "My name is Bill, and I'm Catholic, and this is a crucifix." And the third boy got up in front of the class and said, "My name is Tommy, and I'm a Baptist, and this is a casserole." I guess that went over better than the last one I told. Well, this seems to be the day that's full of questions, and I've got a bunch of them for you this morning, so get ready. And some of them are going to be challenging. And the first one that I have for you is, how many of you have ever been pulled over for speeding? How many of you have ever received a ticket as a result? I got to raise both hands. The simple fact of the matter is that I've been pulled over a few times for speeding, especially in my younger years. And I had a real problem with, we'll just say, driving in excess of the speed limit. We won't go into details, but it was a real problem for me. I'm still not perfect, but I've improved over the years. I'm getting better. And I think it's because I've learned to respect the law, learned to respect the speed limit and the folks that decide what the speed limit is. And if you believe that line, I also have some oceanfront property right here in Ohio that I would love to sell you. I can tell you that any change in my behavior has been a result of the many tickets that I've received in the past. You can only receive so many $150 tickets before you begin to say, okay, I'm going to have to slow it down a little bit because I can't continue to pay for these tickets and the increased insurance rates, and I definitely can't afford to lose my license as a result of speeding tickets. That's just silly. You know, I realized this morning as I was preparing for the message that my attitude towards the speed limit hasn't changed a bit. I still have the desire to drive faster than I should, and I still have the desire to drive faster than I do. It's just a fact. The only thing that keeps me from doing it is my fear of the consequences. My fear of those tickets. You know, if it weren't for that fear, I would probably continue to do it. But I have figured out in my life that I can safely drive 5 miles an hour above the speed limit while I'm on the highway, and the state patrol will leave me alone, that I can get away with that. So my attitude is not about obedience. It's about pushing the limit and still avoiding the consequences. Anybody know what I mean? Most of the time, I'm still guilty of the crime, but I've figured out a way to keep from getting caught. I think most of you can relate to that. You know, I've not reached the point where I say, you know, the speed limit is about keeping people safe, and I want to be a part of that. Don't get me wrong. I don't throw caution to the wind when I drive. I don't want you to think that. I'm not a crazy driver. But I tend to operate within my own ideas of what is and isn't safe. And I think that so many of us tend to do that in one aspect of our lives or another. You know, a lot of the times our attitude, our thoughts don't match up with one portion or another of society. And we just really don't care that much as long as there are no consequences to that action, right? Yeah. That's kind of the attitude that we have. Well, this morning, I want to tell you what Jesus said about obedience. And I want to read John 14:15. John 14:15 says this. It says, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So I told you it was full of questions this morning. So the question this morning is, do you love Jesus? Now, it's not surprising that most of you would say, yeah, I love Jesus. But I want to take this just a little bit further with a few more questions. And I want to really entertain I want you to really entertain the idea of these questions. And I think it might challenge your response to that question, do I love Jesus? And the first question I have for you this morning is this. Does your life show that you love Jesus? Does your life show that you love Jesus? Do your actions prove your love for him? Are the choices that you make based on your love for Christ? Would others testify of your love for Jesus? Would others say, yeah, I know that person, and I know that they live a life that reflects Christ? See, when we're faced with these type of questions and answering those questions, it really puts a perspective on where we are. When we honestly answer the question, do our actions reflect a love for Christ? Or is our professed love nothing more than lip service? I would almost bet that most of you, as you tried to answer the few questions that I had just a second ago, that it gave you a very uneasy feeling. But I want you to hang on, because we're not finished yet. God has inspired some more questions, but we need to look at another scripture first. Let's look at John chapter 14, verses 21 through 24. John chapter 14, verses 21 through 24. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Okay, with that in mind, I want you to hang on, because the questions are about to get just a little bit harder, a little bit more specific. If you were as devoted to your job as you are Jesus, would you still be employed? If you were as devoted to your job as you are to Jesus, would you still be employed? If you were as faithful to your spouse as you are to Jesus, would you still be married? If you paid your bills like you pay your tithes, would you have a car? Or food, or a house? If you were as obedient to the secular law as you are to God's commands, would you be free or behind bars? I want you to think about these questions for a second and ask yourself, do I really love Jesus? You need to understand that Jesus will not be persuaded by our words. He can see directly into our heart. You can't fool him with your words. Maybe today you're that person that has been gliding through life, and you've been operating by your own set of rules, and you want to push the boundaries to the limit and then go 5 miles an hour over. You say, I'm not that bad. Well, I want you to know something. If you're that person, you were caught a long time ago. That game's over. Romans 5:12 says this, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. But we know that the message doesn't stop there. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, when we trust Christ to be our Savior, and we're born again, the Spirit of God immediately enters our body and bears witness that we're His children. The Spirit indwells us forever. But as we are obedient to the Father, we read His Word, we pray, we develop a deeper relationship. Salvation means that we're going to heaven. But submission and obedience will draw us closer to Him. I'll say that again. Submission and obedience will draw us closer to Him. That's when we experience the true blessing of God. Our experience with God should go deeper and deeper. And it will as we yield to His Spirit and allow Him to teach and guide us. You know, if we love and obey Him, He will draw us deeper and deeper into that relationship every day. You know, most of us here, we profess to be Christians. But these questions should really make us think about where we are. This morning, I still have 4 more questions to go, and we're going to break each one of them down a little bit as we go along. The first one of the 4 being this. Do you pray on a regular basis? Do you pray on a regular basis? Now, I'm not asking if you whip out that canned prayer before dinner once in a while. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you talk with God? Prayer is communication with God. If you don't pray, do you really have a relationship? You know, I remember a time years ago when Leslie and I worked different shifts, and the work schedules we had didn't allow us to see each other, let alone communicate. And we found ourselves leaving notes, you know, on the counter to as our way of communication. And, you know, this was back before we had cell phones or we could post every single thing we were doing on Facebook or any of that kind of stuff. It was way before that. But you can't grow a relationship without communication. How could you say you loved your spouse if you didn't talk? You wouldn't even know them if you didn't talk. I have some information for you this morning that is absolutely free and has nothing to do with the message. And that's this. If this morning you're one of those folks that your marriage is in trouble, stop and pray together. Pray together. Pray with your spouse. You will hear the heart of your spouse when you pray to God. And you will develop a closeness that you will find nowhere else. Stop and pray with your spouse. You know, what would happen in your marriage or your relationship with your kids, for that matter, if you didn't talk? And your relationship with God is no different. Prayer has to be a part of it. Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the next question is this. Do you read God's word? God uses his word to speak truth into our lives. And if you don't pick up his word, you miss out on that aspect of communication. I got to ask you this question. What gets more time in your life? God's word? Facebook? Television? What is it? Something is guiding your life. What's guiding it? Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The third question I have for you this morning is this. Do you come to church? I recently read that Adrian Rogers said, every time you willingly choose not to attend a worship service, you're casting your vote to close the doors. If you love God, come to church. Come to Bible study. Stop making excuses for why you can't be there.
Yes.
You know, I understand that there are things that come up, and there are certain things that take priority over the things that happen in this building, and I understand that, and I get that. I understand that there are things in our lives that keep us from being at church at times, but sometimes, folks, they want to make a lifestyle out of being in the flesh and not coming to church. But then saying they love God. And I think that's nonsense. You know, I hear all the time the theory that a person doesn't have to come to church in order to be a Christian. I want to test that theory with Scripture today. I want to look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Here's what it says. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you're a Christian, you want to be in church. You want to be part of the church. Last question this morning. Do you serve him? Do you serve Christ? A long time ago, I heard a man deliver a message from this pulpit. And here's something that he said that has always stuck with me. He said that every one of us will someday die. And more than likely, when we die, we're going to be put in the grave and we'll have a headstone. And that headstone is going to have the date that we were born and the date that we die. And in between it is a dash. And that dash represents our life. That dash is a symbol of who we were, what we lived for. That dash is our legacy on this earth. Will your legacy make a difference for someone? Will your legacy make a difference for someone? Or will it continue to carry folks down a destructive path away from Christ? How will God see your dash? Romans 12, 4 through 8 says this. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives liberally, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, we all have talents and spiritual gifts. Are we using them to serve Christ? I ask that you stand with me this morning. As you stand, as always, I just ask that you bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute and just listen for a second. Do you really love Jesus? You know, I can't answer that question for you, but you can. And Jesus knows your heart. And maybe today he's revealed some things to you that you need to change. Maybe he's revealed to you that you're lost and you need to be saved. I want you to know that this morning you can do that. Maybe he's revealed to you that your love for him is not where it should be. And this is the day to get it right. Don't wait. If you're here today and you're saying, I love Jesus, I want you to hear that Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience is a result of genuine love. Obedience is rooted in love. I want you to know this morning that if Jesus revealed to you that you're lost and that you need him, you need to know that he loves you and he died for you. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned, and that sin separates us from God. And the penalty for sin is death. Jesus died to pay that penalty for your sins and mine. But he didn't stop there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, conquering death. And the Bible says that if you'll believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, that you can be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. Today can be the day that you can get that taken care of. You can leave here today and know without question that you're heaven bound. I'm going to pray. And when I'm finished, this altar is going to be open to you. And maybe today you know that there's somewhere in this church that you want to serve and you just don't know where you fit in. And I'm just telling you to come forward and we'll pray about it and we'll talk about it later and we'll come together and figure it out for you. Maybe God's called you to change something in your life. Maybe you just want to praise God for something that he's been doing in your life. And maybe you want to make the most important decision you've ever made in your life, and that's trusting God for salvation. Whatever it might be, this altar will be open to you. Let's pray. Father, today we come to you humbled. We recognize that obedience is rooted in love, Father, and we serve you only out of the love that's in our hearts. Help us to love, Lord. Help us to recognize that the sacrifice you made for your Son was for each and every one of us. He suffered and died so that we didn't have to. He conquered death so that we could spend eternity with you, Lord. Father, help us to cultivate love so that we can become closer in obedience. Father, we pray that today you would inspire and convict where necessary. We pray that your will would be done, and this time of invitation is yours, Lord, to use as you see fit. And it's in Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. Again, this morning, if you have business with God, this altar's open to you for prayer. And I would be glad to pray with you if you need me, but otherwise I'm going to leave you alone.